Hey, you guys, welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. This is your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. Thank you so much for joining me today on a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as we explore the transformative power of stepping into greatness. I want you to come into alignment with the God-given gifts. I want you to unleash your soul and learn to co-create a life you love. And as you become the writer of your own destiny, in this podcast, you're going to find inspiration, you're going to find practical tips, and that sometimes abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your dreams. You are in the right place. Buckle up so we can unleash your inner badass. You guys, I have an awesome guest here for you today. I'm super excited. I was actually a little nervous having her on because she is the queen of a lot of things. Like when I say a lot of things, probably anything she set her mind to, she would be the queen. She's the queen of marketing. And she doesn't really know this. I don't know that we've had this conversation, but she has been a beacon for me. Oh, I almost got a little emotional here. I remember reaching out to her a while back, like when I first started my journey and I was like flailing, I needed help. And she's like, this isn't really what I do. You know, it was kind of like, I had to be ready for her. I had to grow up to be able to be present in that audience. I had to show up for myself. And I followed her for a long time. And in this period of transition, I have definitely locked on to her teaching. So I'm super excited to introduce her to you guys. I've been at events where she MCs, and the way she loves on people just super highlights her superpower of the capacity to love on people. And it has been, I think, a catalyst in her growth and the fact that she's just a constant in the home-based business industry. So you guys, I know I'm talking a lot about her, so let's let her talk for herself. I introduce to you today, Diane Hochman.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much. And I'm so excited to be here because I'm a big fan of your books. And if your podcast is anything like your books, we're going to have a good time today.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about it. So you have been in, I do have a lot of entrepreneurs that tune in, and a lot of people in between. And there is, you know, there's a little whisper that I'm constantly telling people, like, you have to have a side gig. Okay. Especially nowadays, one stream of income is not enough. So what drove you to the home business? Cause I feel like it's, you were born with the home business. I feel like that you are just like an icon in the industry. So what actually drew you into being your own boss, being an entrepreneur?
Can I say something else first?
Yeah. Then, oh, heck yeah.
We want to have a side gig, a secondary, tertiary source of income, not just because of the economy and, you know, it's ridiculous. Every time I go to the supermarket, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Because there will be a time in everybody's life when our soul is screaming about our assignment. And when you have that additional income, it will give you the freedom and flexibility to pursue the message that you're receiving versus feeling like you're in a prison.
Oh.
So yes, do it for the eggs, do it for the milk, do it for the kids' trips, do it for the you know, the trip to Disney World, do it for the trip to Europe, to Egypt. You know, I have friends in Egypt right now, in Bali, you know, so do
nice.
It for all of those things, do it for the car payment, all of that, but do it for a deeper reason, because depending on where you are in your life, it will hit sooner or later. And when it does, I want you to have options.
Yep.
So now I can answer the other question if you like,
yeah.
But I just think it's so important because we get so caught up in money and we're not recognizing that money is just the vehicle that we can use to chase after the song of our soul. So,
well, it's something that I see this in people that I have conversations with every day when they're like, kind of where I was when I reached out to you years ago, they're kind of flailing. And I think it's because they've heard that message that there is something more. I think they've had the download, but then what's the first excuse for everything in life? I don't have the money. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. And so we just start to bury our soul's purpose. And then we wonder why we're sick, why we're frustrated, why we're tired, why we're miserable, why there's no peace, why there's no joy, why we're constantly trying to chase after everything outside of us because we think there's an answer. But the truth is, you're getting the downloads, you're just not allowing it to process. The excuse is time and money, which are the exact reasons why you need. And I've learned the hard way. You don't put your eggs in one basket. I don't care who you work for, who you work with. You know, your company may be the best. I promise anything can happen. You know, anything can happen. There is no such thing as job security.
Just recently, I was a number one affiliate with a program for 12 years. And I got an email that said, by the way, we're dismantling this and you're not getting paid anymore. And luckily I had other revenue, et cetera, but it was like 12 years. You don't expect
12 that. Years. Yeah. That. And so especially because people would be like, Diane, it's a digital program. This is a lifelong thing. Cause that's the world we live in. So who would see that coming?
I didn't. And that's interesting because I'm pretty savvy and I'm pretty,
yeah.
Actually, it was just one of those like side swipes that life brings you down. So you asked how I got into all of this. I was working as a student activities director at a college and I was pregnant with my second daughter and I just wanted to be home. I just wanted to be home. And I ended up getting involved in a network marketing company. My cousins were in it, et cetera, et cetera. And then the world of marketing opened up to me. The idea of offers and all the things I learned over time. So it was sweet serendipity. It was an accident. I wasn't looking for a home business. I certainly wouldn't have joined a network marketing company per se. I didn't know what a network marketing company was. And then being the inquisitive kid that I am, I started reading books and one book led me to another and one teacher led me to another. And then in 2005, that was 99, in 2005, I met a mentor and I had listened to their material before, but this person was speaking into my soul because I couldn't live in a box. And I had a great job and it paid well, but I was in a box and I am just not a box kind of person. So I started pursuing all different kinds of things. And I have to admit, I'm not entrepreneur. I'm not even an entrepreneur. I mean, I got to be honest. I'm a merchant. I find cool things to sell to people that want to buy them. You guys might want to write that down. I find cool things to sell to people that want to buy them.
Yeah.
I haven't created a whole bunch of my own stuff. I don't have this big entity. I'm a solopreneur. I don't have any employees. Half the time you'll find me on a cruise ship or a beach somewhere. I'm working from there. But it was my kids, my desire to be with my children, the drive of motherhood, which was very difficult at the time because I was the first generation to go to college and I was ridiculed by my own family for wanting to be home with my kids.
Right.
And then discovering a gift that I had no idea. So I think I was just steered down a path that took me to my art, so to speak.
I think that you have a great gift for storytelling. And I've seen that when you are emceeing and you're talking about people that are coming up, it's something that I've seen. How important do you think that has been in your journey of the online space, especially?
It's incredibly important. In the network marketing space, storytelling is everything. In the advertising copywriting space, storytelling is everything. In the influencer space, look at TikTok and the people that can hold 500 people on a live for 2 hours. They're telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all know how to tell a story. I think that for millennia, or whatever the right word is, people have sat around and listened to a great storyteller, whether it was your grandma, whether it was the tribe chief, whether it was where storytelling is, it's important. And we do it with our children. It's not so foreign. A lot of people think it's some secret formula and you have to go to classes and training. I never took any training for any of this. I just realized what moves people.
Yeah. You put a post up yesterday that called me out. And if you guys aren't following her, there's links in the podcast episode so you can check out all things. Make sure you get on her list as well. That is where you find the good stuff. Trust me. And it's funny because I was on that list forever before I actually started reading the list and I'm thankful. Like I have a lot of things that I go back to still just in there. Cause you are just really good. You're good at your craft. You're good at your craft. But the reason I think you're good at that is because you honed in on the fact that people don't buy facts. Okay. You put up this post and it was speaking to me. I feel like you literally posted it for me because I'm out here. I don't own mushrooms. I don't own the market on them, but I'm passionate. Okay. And so I see all these mushroom companies popping up, mushroom coffee, and it's driving me bananas because these companies, they can sell it as a mushroom coffee if there's like a teeny tiny portion of a mushroom. It's a scam. And I'm freaking out. And so I'm posting these facts like, people be smart. You're wasting your money. And really, your post was to me because people aren't buying because of facts. They're buying because of how they feel. And I think that has been your greatest light of attraction, is how you make people feel. So it's not even, I guarantee people are listening right now and they're like, well, I'm not a salesperson. And I tell them all the time, we're all in sales. You know, I had to sell my husband on 2 naked cats in our house, you know?
Oh, I love your pictures.
My kids sell me on an extra snack after dinner. You know, my kids sell me on staying up an hour late. Like, you are in sales, but when it comes to honing in on the market, you're the master of how people feel. That's why they buy. That's why we sell. They're looking for something. When did you realize that? Like, is there a defining moment where you were just like, man, it's really not about the product. It's the feeling.
I grew up in a very, very large MLM. And the teachers that I had there before I got into the real marketing space, I shouldn't say that because it's not like, you know, it's like a gazillion-dollar company. So it's not like it's real marketing and not real marketing. And that sounds condescending and I'm not diminishing where I was. But I worked with the president of the company, the upline that I work with, they were tremendous storytellers. And I started to decode, why did I go to all the meetings? Back then they were, now this before the internet, kids, back in the day. Why did I love to go? Our theme song was Simply the Best by Tina Turner. And the minute I heard the thumps at the beginning, my whole state would change.
You were lit up.
Yep. And then I had, you know, listened to some Tony Robbins tapes and he talked about changing your state. And I started to realize that the stories they were telling and it was an indoctrination in a way of this feeling they were inducing a state. It attracted me. And what I decided I wanted to do, and then I had a teacher who taught me like really how it all works. But there are people that use this for wrong, for their own benefit. And then there's other people that use this to help people see themselves. So I don't sell a product. In fact, you'll rarely ever, once in a blue moon, there's a sale or something, and I'll be like, this is on sale or that's on sale. You know, or this is a good deal. I rarely sell a product. I sell a feeling. I sell a state. Most of my marketing, you'll see. And by the way, I don't do like lifestyle marketing, you know, like I'm not in front of a yacht or, you know, that type of stuff. See, I'm always off somewhere. I'm always on some adventure. I'm doing something because I sell a state. I'm a digital nomad. I wander around. I have a little place, but generally I'm not here. I'm always somewhere, whether it's up with my parents that need help right now, or whether it's off visiting my kids in New York City, whether it's on an island. I sell a state. I sell people back to themselves. They feel like more when I speak into them, when I remind them of who they are. And then I go, by the way, if you want to hang out and listen to more, buy my thing, like that little app that I sell. $10, right? Yeah. It's $10. This is a really cool app and you use it for goals and all this other stuff. By the way, if you do that, you get to hang out with us.
Yep.
So most of the people bought it to hang out with us. They didn't buy it for the app. Most of the people will buy a product from me to hang out. They don't buy it for the product because like you said, there's a lot of similar products out there, but there's not a lot of similar environments to the one that I can create or the way that I can help someone look in the mirror and see their beauty, their strength, who they could be.
Right. And that's, everybody wants the answer outside of themselves. And I think that redirect that you have is great. And I love that you brought up that the feeling that people are after, because I'm seeing that and I'm seeing like all these moths to a flame, and I'm seeing such a lack of integrity that this is my world right now. This is my world. I'm bombarded with just like, there's such a lack of integrity, and it's pushing me to want to be more of like, how did you find that balance, that perfect balance of bringing in that feeling, but still staying in your integrity?
It was funny when I was young in the game. Again, I met this mentor. I worked with him a lot. And there was, this was at the beginning of social media and YouTube was born. Okay. And there was this program that came out, and it was a $4,000 program. And they were going to teach you how to make videos on the internet. And I already knew how to make videos on the internet. I already knew how to do this. I already had a YouTube channel. But I was like, I said to him, you know, my guy, I'm like, we got to sell this. It's, everybody's making gobs of money and they're making $30,000 a month. And I was so excited. And he like pulled me by the collar, figuratively. And he said, it'll be gone tomorrow. Won't be here. Question is that what you really want? Because I was a moth to a flame. There was money. There were sparkly people. They were making promises. I remember there was one gal who turned out to be a very nice person. I judged her, I admit it. But she had all these videos of her like getting hair and makeup and a photo shoot and going down the beach in her bikini and everything. And I was like, I want to be like that. You know, I was a housewife, mm-hmm. with one kid here and one kid here on my breast. You know, I was like, yeah. I was tired and I just wanted to be glamorous like that. And he said, what are they really selling? And is it worth $4,000? And I remember I was like, yeah, but I can make this much. If I only sell five of them, I can make $20,000. And he settled me down. And because I didn't want to be untrue to my teacher who was feeding me, I didn't go.
Right.
Well, program's long gone. The people are long gone. The chick with the hair and makeup's long gone. The guy who ran it's long gone. The other guy went off and he was selling what I called the magic websites, like totally overinflated priced websites, because they were taking advantage of, one guy was a really good guy and he's a good guy, but they were taking advantage of the moths, you know?
Yeah.
And I learned during that time period, if I wanted to stay alive, if I wanted, I've been doing this for 25 years.
Yeah.
25 years. I had to sit, because I have to go to sleep at night and I have to look at my children in the eye. My children are now women. And I have to look at them in the eye and about what I do for a living. And if my whole deal is, you know, running my mouth on a platform all day and taking as much money as I can, as fast as I can, and promising people results that I know they can't get, how do I sleep?
Right.
So it's a hard walk, because there are a lot of money grabs. There are a lot of ways to take advantage of people. There's so much. And it's really hard too, when you know you're teaching principle, mm-hmm. and the people that you're teaching get attracted to that. But he also taught that they all come back, or they fade away. They're either gone or they come back, because over time, everybody grows up and everybody recognizes that one mentor that taught you right, or the mom that you couldn't stand, you know, when you were in high school, but saved you, you know, or the, whoever it might be.
This is who you are to me. That is truly who you are to me, is that, you know, I've had a lot of experience in the past 5 years when I launched coaching, and I'm working with, you know, top earners in network marketing companies that were miserable, hated the products, but sold them anyway. You know, even a mentor telling me, you know, I'm losing weight on something different. And I'm like, I can't promote a weight loss product that isn't working for me. She's like, just don't tell people, you know? And I'm like, man, at the end of the day, I have to look myself in the mirror. And I just, you know, I honestly was really done with, you know, MLM and network marketing, but I know, you know, online income is important. So I'm like, where do I go? You know, this transition of, I had to quit bartending 2 months ago. And nothing felt good to me. And I'm like, I need to find Diane. I need to see what she's doing. And that's where I'm going, no matter what. My husband's like, you don't want to check it out. I'm like, nope, wherever she's at, that's where I need to build home base. And so I'm at the beginning of my long game. It's day one. Starting over is very humbling, and starting at sucks. But I'm here because I know if I stay and I continue to learn, like, I'm forever going to be your student. If I continue to learn and watch and just stay where you are, I knew that you come from a place of integrity. You're no fluff. You're no bullshit. You are absolutely real. This is why my audience needs, you know, I definitely want you guys following Diane. She is my beacon, literally. So everything I'm doing right now with my sales, with marketing, I found a home through her. And I, you know, that's where we go. That's where we're going to stay, because I know it's a place of integrity. I didn't even need to see who owned the company. I didn't care. I trusted.
Let me give you a concept, because this is really important. There's a book by Stephen Covey Jr. And I'm only naming the book as a backup for what I'm talking about. The speed of trust. Okay. Everybody starts and you're either increasing the trust that they have with you, or you're decreasing the trust that they have with you. And even if you've attracted them over time, so you just said, I contacted you, you were doing something, I decided to go that way, which, by the way, I didn't realize you had decided this much. So you and I need to spend some more time together.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize. Okay. And I've had my hands a little full with my own personal stuff.
Oh, I'm still in transition. I get it.
But so what happens is, over time, you didn't need to do all that research because you trust me, and you knew that if I had selected something, it wasn't fly by night. It wasn't any of those things. So the same thing happens the opposite way. Mm-hmm. You tell someone to buy a product that it doesn't really work. Then you hype them up on the next product that doesn't really work. Then you get them to go to something or invest in something or buy something. And they'll follow you for so long until there's a complete lack of trust. And then it's systemic. And what happens is everything falls out.
Everything.
So everything falls out. You've seen it and you know what I'm talking about. So in the short term, the hype or selling hard seems to make sense because you're making money, and sometimes it's just very euphoric. I have to admit, there's times when I've been doing launches and things, it's euphoric. The money's flying.
Yeah.
I got to where, like, more money than I, like, you know, I was a broke housewife. That's how I got into all of this. So it was just like euphoric. I was buying cars cash, and it was like, oh my God, you know, it was crazy. But if you let yourself be taken in by that, and you put that in front of people, whether it's your own ego that you put in front of people, whether it's money that you put in front of people, whether it's, you know, mini fame in the space. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you're in a couple of spaces because you cross spaces. Like, you're in the book space too. That there's so many rackets in the book space. They people take advantage of people. They rip people off in the self-publishing space. It is heartbreaking to watch people that believe I'm being published and I'm going to be a bestseller, and they believe this, and this is their dream. And that's really my philosophy in the end. You don't mess with people's hopes and dreams.
No.
You have to tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honest. I don't, you know, if somebody doesn't do any work or anything, I don't fluff them, but I take people's hopes and dreams seriously. And other people just see it as revenue.
Right.
And I don't see it that way. If I'm selling shoes, maybe the woman's hope is that if I wear the sexiest pair of shoes, I'm going to get the right man or something
right.
like that. That's a real hope and dream. Now it's a low level one, but it's there. All of these things are important. If I'm a hairdresser, the woman wants to feel beautiful. She wants to feel good. If I'm a tattoo artist, the person, maybe I'm doing a picture of their grandmother. That's important.
Important.
There's a place in our work and in our art that is a right living. And there's a place that's not, and it's not for me to judge who's where, because I know some people that love kind of money game programs. All their people love money game programs. They've all agreed we're doing a money game and they're all happy as, you know, happy as can be. God bless you. That's not my space.
Yeah.
But if nobody's being taken advantage of, it's the same in, you know, well, there's a lot of industries that yeah. people have agreed that this is good for them and other people don't. It's not my place to judge anyone, but it is my place to take, if I'm in the space where people are trusting me to help them with their hopes and dreams, which is probably why when we first talked, I don't know whether you had contacted me about coaching or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't really do that. Now, right. I mentor people all the time, and you just changed my paradigm about what's going on with you. Mentoring people, and yes, sometimes I tell someone, you got to pay me if you want that much time, but mentoring right. people is a different animal than give me $15,000 to coach you. it doesn't sit well with me, because I watch the people after they're done with their $15,000 or their $25,000. Very often they're walking off no better off than they were.
And that's, yeah.
And I'm really honest about what I can provide and what I can't provide. I have some learning disabilities. I'm ADHD. I'm focus challenged. I'm hyper-focused and focus challenged. So like a lot of times people think I forgot about them. I didn't forget about them. It's just a squirrel ran by.
Exactly.
So I don't always feel good about, like, I'm not that lady that's going to give you, okay, step one is this. And on Tuesday you do this. And then you do three of these on Thursday. That's not who I am. I'm the passion lady. I'm the your voice, your message, your packaging, your story. That's what I'm good at.
Yeah. And you are good at that. When you are realizing in this, when you had the choice to make between like the integrity and the money, and you chose, and I feel like you've been there for a very, very long time.
I'm gonna stop you. I didn't choose. What I did was I found a right way to make a lot of money. Okay, and that's something that a lot of people think, that I have to choose between integrity and money. No, I have to choose between integrity and temptation money, or not right
income. Yeah.
You know, like one of the programs that you're working with right now, it only takes like 84 people to make six figures in that program. Right. Can you help 84 people? Of course you can. They might be listening right now. 84 people might be listening right now that go, I need to ask her about this because she can help me with this. Is that a right living? Is that a right six-figure revenue stream?
It is.
You know the organization's good. You know the training's good. You know the information's good. You know your support, your person. That's a very right living. There's other things out there, and it's like, you know, so many dollars, and it's really hypey. You know, maybe it's a $500 pop or whatever. It's really hypey. You know that the information is being sold to everybody. It's not helpful. You know, and you go out and sell that. Is that a right living?
Right.
Now, are lots of people selling those things? Are lots of people doing those things? Yeah, they either don't know any better because they haven't had that crisis where they go, this isn't in my integrity, or they don't care.
Right.
So I just want to make sure, I didn't mean to interrupt you, and I apologize.
No, that's perfect, because I wasn't saying it right.
You have to make a choice.
Yeah.
You don't have to make a choice between integrity and income. What you have to make a choice of is integrity and right income for you.
Right. And that's, I think that is what I, just my personal experience right now, is there was a choice. I can do fast money, or I could stay in my integrity. And if I'm staying in my integrity, it's not fast money. It's not.
Again, it's all nuanced. Because
for me, where I'm at.
Sometimes there's a window of opportunity comes. There's something comes out, there's a launch, there's a product line, there's something unique comes out, and you can make a quick $10,000. It doesn't mean it's necessarily out of integrity. What's out of integrity is when we're taking advantage of people. Think about it. If I'm selling, I don't know, solar roofs, solar panels, right?
Yeah.
I can make a good commission selling solar. If somebody's roof is a mess, they can't put solar panels on top of it. They need their roof first. If I talk the guy and I close the guy on solar panels knowing it'll destroy what he already has, that's not right. If I take a family and I sell them a solar roof and it's going to save them $400 a month in electricity, that's right.
Yeah.
Again, this is our own voice, our own God voice, our own heart, what feels right. And then the other thing that people need to realize is some people, because of their programming and their background, they think all money is wrong. And that's something people have to work on.
Right. No, I agree. I agree with that. I think people's relationship with money is, it's a huge part of what holds them back. Not only do they not believe they can have it, they don't believe, you know, that it, they just, the whole belief system. So I think relationships with money are a big part of what people have to grow through. When you're seeing people, because I know you care about people, I think we kind of have a line. Our brains are kind of the same. They work the same. So we care about people, and we treat people how we want to be treated, with that trust, with that integrity, with that love. So when you see people that you do love, like I'm watching a lot of people that I love just go from one dumpster fire to another dumpster fire, and my insides are screaming. Like, I'm I feel kind of frantic. Like I want to save all the little baby ducks and like just save the baby ducks. And so how have you learned to not just kind of panic over them and just stay in your, because what is the truth? Okay. The truth is I can watch all these people go from dumpster fire to dumpster fire, but I know if I continue to be a pillar in their lives, I know where they go. I know where they end up. I'm going to be their Diane Hockman, you know? I know that, but my initial reaction right now is like, I just want to save the baby ducks.
And I went through that for years. Again, 25 years, I probably did that for 15. It's really hard. Each person has to come to the place where they see clearly. And then, by the way, this is the same in everything. It's not just business. It's dating, right? Why does that one girl always go after the guy?
To the same guy.
Or to the bad dude, right? Why? Yeah. Until she values herself enough to see past that and believe she deserves something more. Now, you can be there and you can listen and you can help and you can, you know, in marketing, you can put out content, mm-hmm. you can speak your word, you can do your podcast. But each person has to come to that place. I've known some people for 20 years that go from deal to deal to deal to deal to deal to deal. They're always chasing. They're in the newest thing. They jump because they're looking, like you said, for something outside of themselves. Other mm-hmm. people, they have to go through an experience once, twice, three times, get burned until they finally see. I can't make them see. I can't, and it took me so long to figure that out, because I would be like, please, begging them. And I always came across like preachy. Some people still consider me kind of preachy. It's universal law. It's wisdom. It's what I'm talking about. And, you know, I wasn't ready to hear it earlier too. So who am I to, it's not my time. It's in God's time for each person. It's right. Not for me to tell them what to do. It's for me to be a shining example. One of the things I was just telling my friend is I went through some transition myself, and I haven't been putting out as much content as I used to. I used to be prolific with content, mm-hmm. and I kind of haven't done that level of content. And I said, it's time for me to start talking again, because if I want to mm-hmm. be a beacon, if I'm a lighthouse shining for people so they can find safe harbor, if I don't talk, they can't find me.
Exactly.
And that's the best I can do. I'll watch people, they'll walk away from somebody that's treated them remarkably well. Somebody that's like, it happens to me all the time. I'll sew into someone. I'll spend time with somebody. I'll encourage them. I'll edify them. I'll promote them. And then they'll go, and they don't even say thanks or bye, or they don't even know I did anything.
Right.
And it used to hurt me. And then I let it go. People who are meant to be with me will be with me, and they'll be for me for the season that they're supposed to be.
Right.
Some long, some short.
I have a lot of growing up to do. I'll just say that I do have a lot of growing up to do, and it's going to be the experience. You can't skip the steps, you know, and I think that's true for anyone. You just can't skip the steps, and we're all trying to do that.
Well, everybody, it's America. Welcome to America. We're all trying to get somewhere really, really fast. We're all trying to lose weight fast. We're all trying to make money fast. We're all trying to find a relationship fast. And again, it goes back to what I said in the beginning. Eventually the ache in your soul will come forward. So you can address it now. You can address it later. You can go through the learning now. You can go through the learning later, or you can push it away your whole life. But in the end, we have to find that place. Let me go on another topic, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Motherhood, right? Mm-hmm. Mother. You've probably heard of me talk about my girls. My girls are now turning 28 and 31. They live in New York City. They live very busy lives. They're both successful. They're doing really well. I miss them.
Yeah.
I miss them. I miss the giggles. I miss my buddies. You know, we used to hang a lot and stuff, and I miss them. But this is the time and the season for them to be young adults. And it's so hard for me to not want to claw at them or grab them, mm-hmm. and or stop them from a mistake, or mm-hmm. stop from that relationship, or, and that's the next challenge for me is being patient and knowing that one just got engaged. And I'm sure as marriages and children come and et cetera, that will come back together. I have faith in that, but I miss them. They were my everything. I crafted my whole life around them. They were my identity. I had no identity when, you know, I didn't even know who I was for a little while. So the same thing happens in business with people you love and they go off. People who come, then people show up. And then all the misunderstandings, the humanity of it. Like, I moved. My kids can't understand why I moved. You know, they're there. I can't understand this. You can't understand this. Because we're all working from our own perspective. And until we learn to see things from outside of ourselves, it becomes a mystery.
Right. I love that you brought up parenthood because I have so many moms on here. And that is something that I talk to a lot about, how important it is for them to have an identity outside of being a mom. That's, I know, you know, my youngest is 5 and I'm already panicking of like, there's going to, you know, she slept in her bed with her sister last night and my kids co-sleep. Like, my youngest son was with us till he was 11. Okay. So I've not slept alone in 22 years. Wow. Like, I've always had a baby. And so she slept in the bed last night and, you know, I'm laying there and I'm like, man, I don't like this feeling. You know, my husband works a night shift. He's not in bed at night. So, just, it's going to be hard. And so I lean into knowing I need to have things that define me outside of that. And I think it's important for every mom to have a hobby of some sort. It doesn't have to be podcasting. It doesn't have to be public speaking. It doesn't have to be anything crazy like that, but just, you know, a knitting club, for God's sake, I don't care. Like, get into running marathons, something. You need something that really defines you before the transition, because I feel like there's a slippery slope between, you know, really waking up as an empty nester and making that choice. And I feel like a lot of people waited too long and they have just sunken themselves on the weight of what ifs, you know, and it's hard to get out from under that.
It sure is. And, you know, when they went off to college and stuff, they still needed things, you know, anything. Now they don't need anything. They don't need money. They don't need a lot of advice and stuff like that. They don't need, and which means I did something right.
Absolutely.
You know, they're completely independent. They're financially self-sufficient. They've had healthy, good relationships. They, you know, they've gotten promotions, all that good stuff, right? But at the same time, it's like, can't you need something? Can't you be broke and ask me for money?
Exactly.
Can't you call me up crying just one day, just once, you know? And it's kooky. It's kooky. And during that period, it was like a really weird vacuum because I had my work, which I love, but my work wasn't enough, you know? So it's... I only bring that up because it's all the same.
It's all the same.
If we don't feed our soul, you know, a lot of times we use the word integrity. It's what feels right in your soul, right? What feels right in your soul? And are you feeding it? Are you, whether you like to read or you're listening to audiobooks or you like to go for a walk or you like to garden or whatever it may be, what feels good? And a lot of times we keep putting aside the thing that feels good to us because we're busy. We're busy and it's the same in business. You know, like people, I had somebody say to me today, I was talking about creating content and the type of content I was suggesting. They went, well, how's that going to make me any money? it's something for you. It's something to speak. It's something to attract others that are like-minded. Like you and I have always, I think we've just always, you know, from afar, we haven't been close up together, but I think we've always respected each other tremendously because of the words. It's the word. Mm-hmm. It's not the sales offer. It's not the mushroom coffee. It's the word.
Right.
It's the words.
Yeah. I did an episode today, actually, my 300th episode launched for the podcast. And I'm so excited. My husband's like, you didn't, you know, post a big 300th episode special. I'm like, no, I just posted it as episode 300. But anyway, I picked the topic for the podcast that came out today. I chose adversity because I look at where I was. It's almost been 2 years since I launched the podcast. And I think of everything I've gone through since then, it's been like 10 lifetimes of things and so much adversity, but I still showed up. I was still disciplined. I still came to serve people because I care about that. Cause I think, man, I can't be the only one in the arena getting my ass kicked. There's someone else out there that is struggling, that just lost a job, that, you know, is having problems in their relationship, that everything I've gone through is human experience. And that's why I don't sugarcoat anything on here. That's why I'm real. If my life is a mess, I talk about it. I never make it look like I have my shit together. Cause I don't think there will ever be a point. There's always going to be a room to grow. Or what's my point? You know, what is my purpose if I'm not? So in spite of all that adversity, I have a two-part question for you. I'm still here, still in the arena. I'm a normal person, nothing special about me. You have been very, on paper, successful. People would be like, oh my gosh, she has the perfect life. She gets to go on cruises. She has the, you know, bank account. She's got the, you have all the things, right? She's well-loved. She's popular, all the things. I would say on paper, of course, you're someone that people would say was successful. Number one, how much adversity have you had to process through this experience? Because you're still human. And I want my listeners to see that, even though we would eye someone like you as, you know, it's a perfect life, right? And then also, how do you define success? Because that, I think, how we define success is the most important part of this game. And so many people get lost in what society says it is. And after speaking to, you know, top earners that were like suicidal, you know, I'm talking them literally off a cliff, and they had everything everybody thought they wanted, you know, size zero, all the money, all the fame. They're on stages. They're speaking next to Grant Cardone, and the end of the night, they want to blow their brains out. Like, that's a big deal to me. Like, you know, of just, I want my listeners to really embrace what success is and to understand that you're in the arena. Like, there's no skipping out on adversity. It's going to come because life doesn't stop. It's not like, hey, Diane, you want to get your shit together? We're going to hold everything back for you. You just go do whatever you want. We're going to protect you in a bubble. You know, God's not like, here, I'm going to make sure these people say and do everything you want to work out for you in your favor. So I'll let you speak on both of those things, adversity and your definition of success.
I don't want to get into like a whole bunch of specifics, but I was raising my kids. Everything was awesome. And then my relationship broke up suddenly. Like, I didn't expect it. And then as I was healing from that, I landed in the ICU with COVID, almost died. They were ready to tube me. Then I'm healing from that. Then now my parents are having a lot of challenges. Life is life. And it's funny because up to, I don't know, like 49, my life was idyllic. It did look like, oh my God, she has all the money. She has the $80,000 car. She has this, she has that. And then all of a sudden it was a series of events, which goes back to this soul calling. The universe will tilt when you're not in your correct position, when you're not where you belong or not pursuing what you're supposed to be pursuing, or living your assignment. The universe will tilt and it's going to make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that was really cool is I started to learn to look at what many would think is catastrophe as a blessing. And almost dying was one of the biggest blessings. It was the biggest blessing of my life. I literally went home, I looked at all the handbags and all the shoes and all the stuff, and I gave it all away. Not many people know I did it. I just literally gave everything I owned away because in a moment, it meant nothing.
Yep.
It meant nothing. And I packed up in a truck, and I moved into a small apartment. I left my big house on a lake and the whole thing. And I just picked up because I was in pursuit of what is true versus what society will tell us should belong, you know, we should have, we should go after, and including the industry, the home business industry, the publishing industry, the all of it, you know, the entrepreneur industry. They're always telling us we have to have all these things, and thank God things are changing and you're leading the way. TikTok came around and people started showing the reality. Like, now there's women that are showing, like, they lost 200 pounds and they're showing the skin. right? And people are fascinated to look at it, or people are telling the story about a complete collapse, or people are telling, and in fact, over there, the more flashy you try to be, they're repulsed by it. They're just like, ew. And it's changing, and it's changing. And people are more and more talking more about, like, I've been, for 20 years, I've been talking about multiple revenue streams, but there's a way to structure them. You don't want to do seven MLMs or something.
Right.
I've been talking about content and self-expression. I've been teaching this stuff for 20 years. Attraction marketing, not chasing people, not inboxing people constantly. All of that stuff. I mean, I can show you that my content from 20 years ago saying this, you know,
yeah.
I get stuff from 2002 saying this. I've been teaching it for years. Everybody's just kind of coming around and going, yeah, we want more real. We want the truth. And it's a tightrope because, you know, I don't want to get online and go, my whole life fell apart, because that's not
right.
Inspiring. But at the same time, you tell the story of what you overcame. You know, you tell the story of how things worked out. Success, this is me. Shouldn't say this, but I know they'll never hear it. I look at my parents, and they're close to their end, you know, and they are not happy. They are angry, they're scared, and they are combative. To me, success is when you lay your head on the pillow at the end, no matter how you go, you feel peace. Success is peace. It's nothing more. It's certainly not a pair of shoes with red bottoms. It's certainly not a $6,000 handbag. It's certainly not the fine leather in your car, although those are nice. And I'm not saying you shouldn't get them. If they make your heart sing for a season, go get them. Go get them. I'm a luxury traveler now. I don't have a lot of stuff, but I sure do like luxury. I like to sit in first class.
First class, baby.
I like it. And other people are like, why would you waste your money on that? I like really fine hotels. I love the sheets. I love the sheets. I'm all about the sheets, right? Now, you think I'd just go buy the nice sheets for home. No, I like to go out and have them. So,
yep.
Peace. It's peace. It's not how much is in your bank account, because if you die tomorrow, the bank account's not going with you. It's not how big the diamonds are. It's peace. And the reason why you've seen so many women and they've come to you that have made a lot of money, et cetera, and there's documentaries with these women telling their stories. They were used as pawns in a game. Mm-hmm. And then they finally realize it was a game and they're broken by it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to leave people with more. I mean, I can't make people whole. Nobody can but themselves. But I want to leave people with more. I want my words to be laid down to mean something. I want to leave a body of work. And maybe it will be forgotten 20 years after I'm gone. Maybe it'll be forgotten 2 days after I'm gone. But I want to feel peace. And that's the hardest work, because I told you I miss my kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to have peace with that. They're grown. I'm going to my parents. You know, it's only a matter of time. I'm not wishing for them to go anywhere. I keep going to visit them so much because I'm just cherishing every moment.
Right.
But, you know, I'm going to have to deal with that. I'd love to have a life mate, you know, I'd love to have all the different things that I don't at this moment. You know how hard it was? I had never lived alone in my whole life. And at 50, whatever, 56 years old, I'm like, actually it was a couple earlier. I'm by myself.
Right.
You know what terror a night like that is?
I just told you I haven't even slept in my own bed by myself in 22 years. I couldn't do a whole house alone.
Imagine, like, no noise, no nothing, just the wind blowing. So
yeah, no.
Adversity, it will come. Just like the seasons come, winter will come. I was brought up on the tapes of Jim Rohn, business philosopher, and he always talked about the seasons. It's biblical. Winter has to come.
Mm-hmm.
Winter is when we're replenishing and growth is happening. The new growth can't happen without going through the winter. So I learned to sit there and go, okay, bring it on. If we're gonna have winter, let's have a blizzard. Let's go. Let's do it all in one, you know, let's get it all over with. Let's go. I want spring. So that's it. Peace. That's all I can give you.
I love that. And I think that a lot of people need to hear that today. They need to hear that, because they think that if, you know, they're not making their dream Because my big dream is not going to be someone else's big dream. It's just not. And maybe someone's big dream is to be that stay-at-home mom solely, just the stay-at-home mom and pouring into her kids. Like, that's her life. That's her big dream. Do that then. Whatever it takes to make your lifestyle be able to support that. So get into the entrepreneurial space. Do something online with, you know, marketing. There are so many ways to make money right now that that is something that can happen even in this economy. Okay. Or, you know, that other person who wants to start the business, but they're not attracted to the things. The things are the last thing. I mean, I can't even relate to that. I, all the time, I think I have everything I've ever wanted. And it ended with my dream cats, right? My raw chickens, that if anybody came to ask me, you could have anything you want for Christmas right now, what would you want? And I'm like, dude, I'm good. Like, I have maybe another raw chicken, but my husband will leave me. So I really, like, I'm good right now. It's good. It's not the things, it's not the stuff outside of you. It's not even, you know, the people, the accolades. And that's, you know, Diane can stand on stage and have, you know, 1,000 people just in awe, and all that adoration and all the things didn't protect her from going to a home that was empty, right? Like, that stuff is not what makes us whole. And, you know, it definitely starts within you. What would you say to the listeners today who are probably Diane 15 years ago? What would you say to them to get them to just move the needle towards their version of success?
Spend some time self-educating. We tend to look for the magic course or the, you know, the guru or that type of stuff. I never had any of those. So by the time I found the person who I refer to as my mentor, I already had self-educated myself tremendously. And we live in a different age than when I started, because you even have ChatGPT to talk to ask questions. You know, you can, I mean, you literally can have conversations. If you put it on your phone, there's a little microphone, you can talk into it and you can ask it questions. Like, if you're reading a book and you want to ask it a question about something you're learning, you can. It's pretty phenomenal. Self-education and holding your intuition higher than what you're being told to do, and work really hard on, you've been trained since you were a little kid, unless you happen to come from entrepreneurs, you've been trained to be an employee, to follow directions. So we tend to seek direction, and oftentimes the people that are giving you the directions they are giving you are for their benefit, not yours. You need to learn to make your own work. Most people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to make their own work, because we were taught since kindergarten, this is how it works. And you do what I tell you to do. So then all of a sudden we're in a place where we have to do something on our own. We're lost. And then we can easily become a victim. And that's why people hate this industry, and, you know, the home business space, because people are victimizing people. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Oh, that sounds so cheesy. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. You know what
I mean?
It's
true.
Like, trust yourself. And I always say, if you're a mom, you know everything, because moms influence their kids. Moms get it done in 5 minutes. Moms can put their hair up in a messy bun and look cute. Moms can, you know, moms can do anything. Mm-hmm. And if you've done that with children, I don't know how many of the listeners are moms, but if you've done that with children, I always used to joke about my marketing and call them. There used to be a TV show called David Letterman. He was on late night, and he had this segment called Stupid Pet Tricks, where the pets would do crazy stuff. It was like, your cats would have been a big hit. I don't know if it's cute. And I call my thing Stupid Mom Tricks, which sometimes people think I'm calling mom stupid. No, I think moms are genius, because we could take, you know, we can make Christmas out of the dollar store and the kids think it was amazing. We can
greatest.
Create, like, I used to make these parties, and all the moms were paying like hundreds and thousands of dollars for these parties. And I'd have a $30 budget. I'd be down at Aldi's buying ice cream sandwiches and sprinkles and things, and making something out of nothing. You can do that. You can do that. Make something out of nothing, out of your own creativity.
Yeah.
I'm off on a Sorry.
No, it's great. I mean, we're literally here to create. And I think that is so much of what people are struggling with now while they're out here choosing, you know, anxiety as an identity and depression as an identity and, you know, becoming a victim because people aren't doing the work for them. And, you know, they're not making it easy. They make it a lot harder for themselves. If you really just shut out all the noise, stepped out of the box, you get to create your own world, like an entire world that is of your creation. You literally get to handpick the things that you love, the things that you enjoy, like all of this. It's possible, but you have to get outside of your limitations and you have to be willing to create and you have to be willing to go at it alone because nobody, you know, nobody's gonna be tapping you on the shoulder every morning like, Brandon, it's time to wake up. You've got to do a podcast today. You know, no one drags me through it. It's every day I make the choices. Either I'm going to commit to it and be someone that does something with it, or I'm not. And that's a choice you have every day. Either you're just going to do it or find something else, but create.
And that's the lie that they sell out there is we're going to give you the step by step. We're going to hold you accountable. I hate that phrase. Whenever somebody says, I'm going to hold you accountable, I'm like, no, you're not. Who's going to hold you accountable for anybody? We can't, you know, it's a lie. And it's all up to us and our creation and our desire and our dream. And the world and the technology is moving so fast right now. Everybody has to learn. We came from 150 years ago, everybody was self-dependent. You had your little piece of land, you grew your stuff, you had your chickens, not cats, but chickens, kids. You did this, you skinned the chicken. Everybody was independent, and then the wars came, and then everybody went into becoming dependent. Okay. And mm-hmm. we thought it was good, and it was good for a little while until greed kicked in. We have to go back to being independent because the technology is removing the need for the mundane worker. And I don't mean to be doom and gloom or anything like that, but watching it happen before our eyes, technology is going to flip things. It flipped things in 2007. It's going to flip mm-hmm. things and do triple somersaults in the next 10 years. So we have to learn to think differently because mm-hmm. we're either going to learn to think differently or it will be forced upon us. Right. And you can be an early adopter or a late adopter. But when you go back to and you think about like our grandmothers or our great grandmothers, depending on people's ages, they were scrappy.
Yeah.
They were scrappy. They knew how to get stuff done. They knew how to put food on the table. They knew how to, you know, grow something, do something. So what's today's equivalent of that? Get scrappy, get creative. Mm-hmm. You know, I never really advertised. I never had employees. All the things they tell you, you have to have a VA. You have to advertise. You have to do that. All these things that I was told I had to do that they were trying to sell me, I just never did any of them. I'm scrappy.
Right. And that's it. Be scrappy. Diane doesn't come with a whole team of people. And we know Brandon's podcast is Wing It and Fuck It. So it's about being scrappy. You do what works and you do that until it doesn't. And then you grow and evolve to the next space. I think it's very obvious that technology is ruining us. It's taken the humanity out of humans. It has made us less connected. We are so disconnected and so self-involved and not in a good way.
But I see it the other way too.
Yeah.
Because in the past, you couldn't have done, what do you call it? The wing it and fuck it.
Yeah.
You couldn't have done a podcast because you couldn't have even bought a microphone like that for your house. You couldn't have streamed the way you're streaming. So yes, I agree. And I also agree the polar opposite is true because now people can have a voice. People can sing their song. Everybody has a stage. You know, we all go, I wish they'd put me on a stage. I want to be a motivational speaker. Well, guess what? This woman is doing it in her house with a microphone and a laptop, whatever you're using. We all have. The question is, can we make our own work? And can we go, oh, wait a minute. I could do this. I can make something out of it. You don't want to do a podcast? Do TikTok Live. You don't want to be on camera? Do what do they call it now? The faceless video channels. People are making bank with faceless video.
Is that a thing? I didn't know that was faceless video.
It's a big thing. In fact, I was just saying I got to teach a class on this. Faceless video. It's huge. You know, there's so many things. So yes, technology is ruining us, and technology is also taking those that are creative, that are scrappy, and helping them see something in a whole nother way. And the question becomes, do we want to see it and look forward and go, what could I do? It's the same as our great grandmothers saw some scraps and made a beautiful dress. And you'd be like, how did you do that? They saw that, you know, they had a leftover piece of lace. They kept a bag of buttons and scraps. And this
exactly.
is a quilt. And today, you know, what do? We go to Walmart, we buy a quilt, we throw it away.
Right.
We don't even feel like taking it down to the laundromat to wash it. So we throw it away. Mm-hmm. They made something out of nothing. And we have the ability to do that today.
Right.
And that excites me.
Yeah.
Musicians, one of my favorite bands that I like, they're kids, but I love them. They're completely independent. They refuse to submit to the industry. They just sold out Radio City Music Hall, and they're all over the country. They're all over Europe. They opened for the Jonas Brothers. They refuse to submit to the industry because the industry rips artists off. They
oh, yeah.
They were testifying at Congress because they said, we're not doing this. We're doing it. And from a groundswell of their own homemade iPhone videos, they have become really well known and been on the, you know, the late night shows and all kinds of stuff. They just decided.
I love that they're not selling out, and that's it. You can have anything you want and you don't have to sell out, I think.
And we could not do that 20 years ago, 30
right.
years ago. It wasn't possible. A woman like you could not get your voice out. It wasn't
right.
Not
just right. No, I am very thankful for it. In the same voice, I'm not thankful for the people that are not taking advantage of it. I guess they're the, you know, Netflix binge watchers, they're the watching the internet doomsdayers, you know.
And the people
just...
that we're able to connect through technology.
Yeah.
Other people are able to isolate through technology.
Exactly.
And that's each person's choice.
And if you're listening, I can't believe that you would tune into this podcast and be an isolator. So I know you're feeling very moved today and you're thinking, man, faceless videos. I'm going to sign up for Diane's class. And so she should have it because I'm going to sign up. I want to know what a faceless video is. That's why I do a podcast. I'm not always happy with my face being out everywhere. So I know there's people like me that feel the same way. So let's get into faceless videos. But you should be stepping into some kind of creation power. And a lot of people, this is my biggest form of resistance with people when I'm talking about how important it is, because like I said in the very beginning of the podcast, we don't have job security. I don't care where you work. Okay. There's no such thing as job security, but you can have brand security. Who you are, you have control of that every single day. And so when you step into the power of branding who you are, that is where you build that trust that we were talking about earlier. This is where you get the power for attraction marketing. Like, I don't have to chase people. People come to me and they're like, oh, I saw you were talking about your skin. What are you using? And they don't ask the questions. They just buy the stuff, right? Because I stick true to my brand. And I feel like the biggest piece of resistance I get when I'm working with women on building their brand is, you know, when I'm talking about content, they're always like, I don't know what to post every day. How do you get content every day? And I do a podcast 5 days a week. And I'm telling you, I have enough content. I could do a podcast for 10 lifetimes. Because you never run out of content. There is so much going on in the world. How would you help someone right now who is stuck on, I don't have the content?
You want me to say what people want to hear, or do you want me to say?
Nope, I want the truth. We don't say what people want to hear. We ruffle feathers. We piss people off.
I tell someone that if you don't have something to say and you don't have somebody you want to serve, you're probably not ready yet. Because it's a swell that somebody has. You see, because what happens is people are trying to make money. And then they're going to do the podcast or the YouTube or the this or that because they want to make money. Okay. It doesn't work that way. It's you have people you want to serve or something you want to say, and then you make money because of that. And so when somebody tells me I can't create content, I'm like, great, what can you do? You know, I can't do a podcast 5 days a week, which by the way is a lot, and I used to do it, so I know what it is. And
yeah,
every day it was independent, different content every single day, and everybody's like, how do you do it? I don't know, I got a lot to say. Maybe you don't have a lot to say yet, but what do you have to say?
Yeah.
And if you don't have something to say, well, then go over to ChatGPT and ask it, this is my space and what should I be talking about? And see if anything inspires you. See, I work on inspiration. I'm looking for something. Like, notice we've been talking for a long time because we're inspired. We're jacked up, inspired. We love the messages. If somebody says to me, I just want to make money, I'm going to teach them the rudimentary basics of sales, moving a product, which is different than creating a brand. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So a brand is somebody who has something to say, or a message, you know, an overarching message. A person who's an affiliate, an associate, etc., that's just a matter of doing legwork and getting the word out. And I've done both, so I can teach both. I don't try to push someone into a lot of content creation when they're not vibing, but I'm honest with them that until they create content, they're never going to create it. You know, people say to me like you put out one email and you'll make 10, 22 sales. And I put out an email and nobody listens. And I'm like, okay, when's the last time you wrote an email? 3 months ago. And I was like, okay, it was the last time you wanted to sell something, right? I care about the audience. You care about your audience. So I usually push someone a little bit and I go, well, do you care about the people that you're trying to sell to? And why? Why do you care? Well, I want them to be able to be home with their kids. Why? Well, because I feel, you know, whatever it is, why? Great. What do we have to say about that? If there's nothing, if the person really has no juice, it's not their time yet. It's just the truth. It's not mean. It's not terrible. Can they go out and make money part-time doing a, you know, there's lots of things you can do to make money part-time. Talking about something a little larger with branding, and there is a difference. You know, anybody can make $500 as an affiliate. You know, if that's what you need to put. I started for $500, so I'm not. I'm all about that. I literally started for $500, and then I just discovered things. It just means you haven't discovered the thing that turns you on yet,
right? And I'll be honest. I started the podcast for money because I was sold a bullshit. I fell for a little bit of bullshit again. And, you know, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this podcast. And, I fell in love with serving people. I fell in love with the messages I was getting. That's why 2 years later, you guys, this podcast cost me money. Like I put my money in every month to be able to have this. There's no income here. So that's when you really,
you get with me this week. We're going to fix that because I
monetize it.
There's people listening right now, and it doesn't have to be out of integrity. You guys remember before I mentioned the program that Brandon works with, that it's a marketing education program. You know, it only takes 84 people to make six figures. Maybe that interests you. Or she mentioned mushroom coffee. Maybe that interests you. You know, it does all kinds of cool things for you, right? There's ways that we can conversationally market. There's ways that we can drive people to places where we can monetize without it being, hello and welcome to Brandon's podcast, where we're going to sell you every 30 seconds and we're going to have commercials and we're going to be annoying, right? So if we're speaking, if we're making videos, if we're doing a podcast, there are very specific ways to bring revenue, and these are the things that this is where we get into that mentorship. Most of the time when somebody promises you money, they're trying to sell you something.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with them selling you something. The question is, are you really going to get there? And with experience, we start to learn what's legit. I mean, I buy info products all the time.
Yeah.
But I buy them from trusted sources, people who I've vetted, people who I know really have, you know, some bang up really good stuff. We're going to fix that. And we're going to magically make that change because my teacher said, and this may be offensive to some people, and then we'll wrap it up, but he said to me, he said, if you're doing it right, people will pay to be your friend. And I was like, what? That's offensive. That's evil. That's this and that. And he goes, no, you don't understand. And I said, no, clearly I don't. If your energy is in the right place, and yours certainly is, and if you're coming in service, and if people are feeling. You know, if you're a regular listener of this podcast, you should want to bless this woman with a purchase of something. You should want to feed her, because she's been feeding you. It's circular. It's universal law. You should want to feed her by buying something from her. It's not sleazy. It's not slimy. It's not cheesy. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I watch people. In fact, yesterday I was with a friend. They had a beaded bracelet. Somebody gave them a bracelet, and it was too big. And we happened to walk by. We were in New Orleans. We happened to walk by a bead store. And we went in there, and because this person doesn't know anything about beading or anything about it. I said, no, they'll have the stuff in there. I can do it for you. But the woman was so passionate about beading, and she looked at the beads and she held them up to the light and told the person what it was and everything else. And she said, well, I could redo it for, it's $12, right? And they were like, yeah, let's do it. So the person's chatting with us and this and that. They handed them a 20 and they said, keep it. Yeah. Because they felt like they needed to give her more, because she had given them more than what the service cost. And she was like, are you serious? Why? Just wanted to. And when we start thinking like that, I always say that feed who feeds you, feed who feeds you. And when we move into a state and we have an expectation that people will feed us, magical things happen.
Yeah.
And that's how I operate. I just go out there and I start a new revenue stream, and I don't go out there hardcore selling. I just share, I'm going to feed you. Will you feed me? And that sounds weird, and it sounds woo woo, and it sounds kooky, and it is so true. We were born to receive.
Mm-hmm.
We were born to receive. So we are going to fix that lickety split. And for all of you that are listening, there's so many things for you. Get in touch with this woman and see everything that she's up to, and see how you can hang out with her more, because that's the blessing. You know, whether it's drinking some mushroom coffee, or whether it's building some websites, or whether it's whatever it is, hang out with her, because that's where the gift is.
Yep. There's more of me, you guys. I know that's what you want. More of me. All day long, let's hang out. We've got chat rooms. We have all the things. Make sure you are connecting and following, signing up for Diane's newsletter. You will thank me for that. I'm grateful for your time. Thank you for pouring into us today, for sure. I know you have a lot going on too, especially in transition period. So I just thank you for your time. You guys, make sure you leave a review. Written review is where the money is at. And by money, I mean Apple and Spotify are going to highlight and showcase me more if I have more written reviews. Stars, I appreciate them, but that's really not what does it. Okay. So take a few minutes of your day and just say, I loved it or hated it, or we want Diane back, whatever it is. Okay. Make sure you leave that review, share the podcast with a friend, and listen, bitch, dream big. Life is too short to play small. Embrace who God called you to be, own your shit, and be brave as you step into your full potential as a co-creator. Until next time, love yourself in the mess. This is Brandon Lynette here, reminding you of your potential with a side of chaos. You're in the arena. Keep swinging.